city prepared for you and me. Some call it heaven, where life will not cease. Some call it paradise, a land of sweet peace. Some call it glory, with eyes on the throne. But I'm longing for Jesus, so I just call it. City, our loved ones are awaiting a reunion that is sure to be. It's the hope that we have prayed for, the hope our Savior prayed for. It's a city of endless victory. City, our eyes shall behold Him. Face to face, at last we shall see. We'll see the Lamb whose blood has saved us, the King whose grace forgave us, Jesus Christ, the One who set us free. Some call it paradise, a land of sweet peace. Some call it glory, with eyes on the throne. But I'm longing for Jesus, so I just call it home. Some call it glory, with eyes on the throne, but I'm longing for Jesus, so I just call Him home.
Heart, won't it? Praise the Lord. On the heels of that, find page 188 in your songbook. We got a moment or two here. I know the guy that's preaching. I know how long he's going to preach today. So 188, let's sing it. Oh, what glory awaits me. Jesus will outshine them all. Y'all mind playing a little bit, ladies? 188 this morning in your hymn book. Let's sing a little couple of songs today. Ah, that great song about heaven that encourages us. Oh, what glory awaits me in heaven's bright city. When I get there, such sights I'll behold. A million scenes of rare beauty will demand that I view them. Still Jesus will outshine them all. Singing now, mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunion on streets of gold. Angel choirs singing glad praises forever. But Jesus will outshine them all. The second now, the sparkling river is flowing, happy faces all glowing, a land of splendor where night never falls. The golden glass gives reflection to that city's perfection. Still Jesus will outshine them all. Sing it now, mansions, yes they will, of glory and happy reunion on streets of gold. Angel choir singing glad praises forever. but Jesus will outshine them all. Turn over about 10 pages to 198. Here's the last one. We'll get into the message here. I love this old hymn, "Where the Roses Never Fade." My mother-in-law's favorite flower was a rose, my wife's mother. And that's where she is. I'm going to a city where the roses never fade. 198, ladies. Let's sing a couple of verses in this good old hymn here. I am going to a city where the streets of gold are laid, where the tree of life is blooming and the roses never fade. Good. Here they bloom but for a season. Oh yes, their beauty is decay. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. On that last together, a loved one's gone to be with Jesus. We go in their robes of white array. My coming, where the roses never fade. Singing now, they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty is decayed. Thank God I sure we are. Hallelujah. Oh, where the roses never. You ever notice how many good songs are about heaven? And it'll encourage the heart of a child of God. The whole aspect, the whole promise of it is an encouragement to us that live in this old sinful world. And full of bad news, isn't it? Full of bad news. But brother, there's good news ahead. Amen. Let's find Mark 16 in your Bible this morning. Mark chapter 16. Find that text. In just a moment, we'll read a couple of verses after you find it there, Mark chapter 16. And follow along today. Are we getting sound out of the monitors this morning, Brother Bragg? Does it sound like to you? Not much. So, need a little help there. Normal settings on the platform. Mark chapter 16, let's stand together, please. In honor of God's Word, I'm going to begin reading with verse 14. Afterward, He, Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the importance of baptism. The importance of baptism. Let's pray together. Father, I'm thankful for your word. Thankful for the opportunity to preach it this morning. I have nothing in myself that is potentially a blessing to these people. But in your spirit, with your word and your help, we can see something happen in our hearts. So God, we look to you. We ask you for your blessing, your anointing, your help in this message in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you. And be seated. Was it, 3 weeks ago now? For time passes so quickly. Brother Bob Smith preached here on our supersized Sunday. Toward the end of his message, he mentioned the matter of baptism. We had several guests with us that morning. After that, after the conference had ended, I received a phone call from about a couple that were in our church visiting that morning, and received a phone call from one of the relatives here in the church. And, Pastor, they would like to talk with you about baptism. And so, on a Saturday morning, my partner and I, Brother Ray, went to the house and sat down with an 86-year-old man and his wife. And we howdied for a little bit, and then I said, well, your family member told me that you wanted to talk to me about getting baptized. And he started telling me about when he got saved, recalled it clearly. And he said, but I never was baptized after I got saved. He's 86 and got saved when he was young. Never was baptized. And I said, well, what? He said, the preacher talked about that on the Sunday that we were at your church. And I said, well, why don't you get baptized in your church where you attend? And he said, well, the baptistry is broken and they don't want to put the money into fixing it. And they're not baptizing anymore. And so I didn't know what to do. Because I said, you have no intention of leaving that church to come to Faith Baptist Church. He said, no. And I said, I don't want you to. I want you to. We're not out to proselyte folks from other churches, okay? So he said, but here's what he said. Pastor, I want to obey God. 86 years old. I would think the vast majority of 86-year-old people who had been saved and as a child, never baptized, would just say, oh, you know what, at this point in the game, what's the big deal? That wasn't his attitude. There were some extenuating circumstances with his wife as far as health related. And so I said, okay, look, here's what we're going to do. We'll meet there at the church and your family, and I will baptize you in obedience to command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So on a weekday morning, we met back here, and they got the robes on and went down into the baptistry, and that 86-year-old man and his wife followed the Lord in believer's baptism. I want to obey God. That's what he said. Then I made sure that he wasn't adding baptism. I wanted to make sure he wasn't adding baptism to faith in Christ. He said, no, just, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And this man had been in church all his life. And he said, I just never got baptized. Then Brother Luke brought a message in a bus meeting on the importance of really working to see the bus children who get saved in the ministry here baptized. And I thought, man, that was a good lesson. And I went to him after the service and I said, hey, I want your notes. So he gave me his notes. And part of what I'm preaching this morning is his sermon. That's the part that you'll sleep through. The part that's mine, you'll stay awake. Now, this is a different type message for a Sunday morning, okay? I understand that. But let me ask you a question before I get into it. Could you defend our position as a church on baptism? Could you defend it from the Scripture? Do you know why you got baptized? Do you understand it? Can you defend that to a relative or a coworker if you ever asked about it? I don't know that I've ever preached an entire message on the subject of baptism. I know I've taught on it before, but never on a Sunday morning, but the Lord put it on my heart. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of baptism. Listen very carefully. There are, as always with any doctrine, there are two extremes on baptism. One group adds baptism to faith in Christ. They add it to faith in Christ. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. That's an extreme. That's a false teaching. And then there's other groups that don't give a flip about baptism. They, you know, their only interest is to get people saved. Now, folks, obviously, I don't think it's wrong to get people saved. But you can't neglect the other two parts of Jesus' command. The truth of the matter is, and Luke brought this out, Brother Luke brought this out, we ought to put as much effort into getting them baptized as we put into getting them saved. Because that was the command. The command did not stop at salvation, and it went to baptism, and it didn't stop at baptism, it went on to discipleship. And for people just to ignore the latter two is to do an injustice to the command of Jesus Christ. I remember years and years ago, a big group of folks came into Kankakee, and they went, you know, I got a phone call, somebody said, man, they had hundreds of people saved in Kankakee, and not one decision card turned in for follow-up. Not one. Now, look, I'm not against people getting saved. And that is the most important thing. But to completely ignore the latter two parts of that Great Commission is to do an injustice, a disservice to what Christ said. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and then teach about baptism, and then teach them to be disciples, followers of mine. Okay? So it is important. You've got two extremes like there are with anything in the Bible. Now, let me go through some things with you this morning. We're going to use our scriptures. We're going to start here in Mark chapter 16. Number one, baptism is commanded by Jesus. Look at verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, this is one of five places places where what we call the Great Commission is given by Jesus Christ. In this place, in the book of Mark, it is given to the 11 disciples. In other places, it was given to larger groups of people. And this is something that Jesus considered very important. I want you to notice two things about this command. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 15, He said, go preach the gospel. Go preach the gospel. What is the gospel, church? It is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to 1 Corinthians 15, that's the gospel. And notice what he said. He said in verse number 16, there will be some who believe, and there will be some who believe not. That is the only two possible responses to the gospel message. You either believe or you believe not. There is not almost believe. You either believe or you believe not. That's always been the response to the gospel message. And when they believe, when believing in Christ, and by the way, this is more than just a mental acknowledgement. This is more than just nodding the head up and down, okay, yeah, I can say that prayer after you. When more just a mental acknowledgement, when a person places their believing faith, that heart trust, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as completely sufficient to pay their sin debt, that's salvation. Some will believe. Some will not. So he said, go preach the gospel. Then I want you to notice in the second part, verse number 16, he said, those who believe are to be baptized. So those who believe, so go preach the gospel, and those who believe are to be baptized. Now, some people use this verse, verse 16, to teach that you have to be baptized in order to be really saved. What's incredible to me is some of the people who believe that, who teach that, do not believe. They believe that any old version of the Scripture will do, and there are a lot of versions of the Bible out there that completely omit this passage. It's not in the Bible. Well, what they said, so not in their book. Okay? Now, what you notice here, what they teach is, they teach based on phrase number one, that if you're not baptized, you're not saved. Now, look at it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, folks, if you take that one phrase right out of Mark 16:16 and lift it out, you can teach that. But when you compare Scripture to Scripture and compare one phrase to the general teaching of the Bible, you can't make it say that. In fact, you don't need other places. Look at the second half of verse number 16. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, if baptism is essential for salvation, then the Holy Spirit made a big error by omitting baptism in the second part of that verse. If it's essential, if you have to be baptized to be saved, then where in the world why don't you read that? But he that believeth and is baptized not shall be damned. That's because that's not what that verse is teaching. That verse is teaching that believing faith is what it takes to be saved. And if you don't have believing faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're lost. No baptism included. Okay, that's it. So baptism was commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Jesus promised. Now, there are some groups, folks. When I was out in Iowa, you folks that were out there, Teresa, Brother Maxwell, and others. I remember Brother Brown won this fellow to the Lord in town. And I was working with him. And he had not yet followed the Lord in believer's baptism for whatever reason. And at 12:30 at night, he called Brother Brown. And he said, preacher, he said, I was wondering if you could meet me down at the church and baptize me. He said, I forget his name. He said, what in the world are you talking about? It's 12:30 in the morning. He said, I need to get baptized. And I need to get baptized now. And the Spirit of God gave Brother Brown discernment. He said, you've been talking to anybody? He said, yes. He said, there's two men here right now. They've been in my house since 8 o'clock. And they're 4.5 hours, folks. And convinced that man that if he hadn't gotten baptized, he was not saved. And said, I want you to call your pastor, take him down and baptize you. That's how serious they are about it. Down south, they make up a large part of what's called the Church of Christ. All over the south. Huge congregations of people in some cases. They believe that you must be baptized in order to be saved. Your salvation is not complete until you're baptized. Well, I don't know what happened to the Lord Jesus. He sure dropped the ball. Because when he was on the cross and that thief believed in him as the Savior, Jesus, the Son of God, told that thief, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." They didn't take that man's body off the cross and baptize it. So Jesus sure made a mistake. I'm sorry, fella, you're in hell, I forgot. They tell you to get baptized before you... That's ridiculous. Baptism is not a part of salvation. But it is commanded by the Lord Jesus for every believer. Okay? Now, number two, turn over to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Let me say this morning, not only was baptism commanded by Jesus, baptism was demonstrated by Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 3. And I know for some of you, this is kind of like, oh, wow, I learned this in fourth grade. But you know what, folks? Not everybody gets saved as a kid. Okay? We got new Christians here. We got folks here that should be baptized. Okay, now look with me in Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse number 13. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." So Jesus Christ is coming to John the Baptist for the purpose of getting baptized. Do you see why he went there? He went there to get baptized. He didn't go to the Jordan River to do anything else. He went there to get baptized. Verse 14, "But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer or permit it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus demonstrated baptism personally. Now, a couple things about this. Jesus demonstrated the mode of baptism. The mode of it. Look at verse 16. Went up straightway out of the water. Folks, you can't come out of the water without first going down into it. You say, "Brother Angel, why is this a point?" Because there are many who sprinkle. There are many who pour water over the head, and they call that baptism. I'm not a big Greek guy, but that's a crazy statement. Because the word baptize means to immerse. You can't immerse somebody by sprinkling. You can't immerse somebody by pouring water over them. To immerse somebody, you've got to dunk them. Some of you folks are dunkers. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm talking about your cookies and your donuts. You stick them in the coffee or the milk. I can't stand that. The crumbs get in there and get all soggy, man. I don't know how you do that. You don't dunk by sprinkling a little milk on your cookie. You don't dunk by pouring a little coffee on your donut. You dunk by immersing it. This is the Bible example of baptism, and it was demonstrated by Jesus Christ. He went down into the water and came up out of it. You know, whoa, what's the big deal? Because of what it symbolizes. It symbolizes His death, His burial, and His resurrection. It's hard to do that with sprinkling. Okay? So he demonstrated the mode of baptism. But here's the second thing I want to show you here is Jesus demonstrated the identification of baptism. You say, what are you talking about? Look at verse 14 again. "But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? So John protested." Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm going to baptize you. Let's reverse the roles here. You baptize me. Now look what Jesus said. And John said, no, but look what Jesus said. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer, permit it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Us. Who's us? That's plural. Who's he talking about? Now, some say Trinity. The Trinity is involved here. But folks, I wonder if he's not just talking about him and John. I need you to baptize me. I can't baptize myself. I need you to baptize me. John, no. Jesus said, yes, I need you to baptize me. So Jesus needed to be baptized. Because Jesus was a sinner and got saved? No. Jesus was baptized in reference to His coming, death, burial, and resurrection to show that that is the only way for anybody to be completely righteous. Not the baptizing. His death, His burial, His resurrection. That's the only way any person can ever be righteous in the eyes of God. Are you counting on living good to make it into heaven? You know, living good in the eyes of God, you're going to fall short. Are you counting on anything other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to get you into heaven? If you're counting on anything outside of that, you have a false hope. So Jesus is demonstrating here the identification with His death, burial, and resurrection as the only hope of ever being righteous in the eyes of God. Have you trusted in Christ as your Savior? You are righteous in the eyes of God. Not through your own righteousness, through His. Now that's the only way to be completely righteous in the sight of God. When a believer is baptized, okay, they are identifying. When people come back here in this baptistry, they sit on that stoop, they sit there, and the water crosses their body, and it's the shape of a cross. Jesus died on the cross. They're put under the water. Jesus was buried. They are brought up out of the water. He rose from the grave. Death, burial, and resurrection, that's the only way to be made righteous. Do you see what he's saying here? John, I need you to baptize me because I'm identifying for everybody here in the future. I'm identifying my death, burial, and resurrection is the only way that anybody can ever be made righteous. And when a person is baptized, their testimony is, I am trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and that alone for my salvation. That's one reason to get baptized. You want to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So, baptism, Jesus commanded baptism in the Scripture. Jesus demonstrated demonstrated baptism, the mode of it, the identification of it. Let me hustle this morning. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. I know this is a little bit a different type message for a Sunday morning, but it's what the Lord put on my heart. Acts chapter 8, and look with me here. Number 3, baptism is after salvation. After salvation. Acts chapter 8, verse number 36. If you're not familiar with the passage, read it this afternoon. I don't have time to give the entire setting. This man from Ethiopia, he's been to Jerusalem for the worship religion. He's coming back to Ethiopia. He's got the scrolls that have on it Isaiah 53. He is reading. Jesus takes Philip from the city where the revival is, sends him out to the desert to meet one lost Ethiopian. You reckon Jesus is concerned about one? He crossed the Sea of Galilee to save the maniac of Gadara. Philip got to the desert. Wow, Lord, the desert. My goodness, look at the people being saved in this town. Revival. Go to the desert. Okay. Here comes the chariot. Oh, he waves the guy, flags the Ethiopian down. Look at verse number 30. Oh, 30, you know, I don't have time to read all of this. 34, the eunuch answered, of whom speaketh the prophet this or of himself? Who's Isaiah talking about? And Philip said in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, the Old Testament scripture. That Old Testament book that so many preachers today are saying, it's out of date. He opened at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Jesus in the Old Testament. Oh, you're talking about Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. That's who the book's about. So Philip witnesses them about Jesus. He tells us, look at verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? But wait a minute. Has Philip said anything about baptism? Where had he been? Jerusalem. What's going on in Jerusalem? 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved, multitudes of people getting saved and baptized. He'd been to Jerusalem, man. Boy, they're dunking people up there, followers in Christ. Whoa. Well, here's water. Can I get baptized? Look what Philip said. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, whoop, time out. You're getting the cart before the horse. You don't get baptized and then saved. You get saved and then you get baptized. Saved and then baptized. Saved and then baptized. If thou believest with all thine heart. The Bible messes up bad preaching. Years ago, there's guys that railed. You folks that go out there and try to get somebody saved, and you tell them, well, if you believe with all your heart, you don't know if they believe. What are you saying with all your heart? You can't say with all your heart. If thou believest with all thine heart. You know, the Scripture messes up a lot of bad preaching. Oh, look, you know what? Just say this prayer. Never saved anybody. Never saved anybody. Are you sincere, sir? You believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? That you're a sinner? Jesus died, was buried, and rose again? Do you believe that in your... What are you making them say that for? Oh, Romans 10:9. Just Bible. That's all. Sorry for my Bible to interrupt your soul-winning plan. Well, look what it says. End of verse 37. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What was that? That was an expression of his heart faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Heart faith. And 38. He commanded the... Commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both... Oh, here it is again. Into the water. It's going to kind of be hard to get in that little vessel with... Why are you making such a big deal? Because people have made such a butchering job of the Scripture. But anyway, so baptism is after salvation, okay? After salvation. You say, what about all these folks that are baptized? And by the way, how much confusion is there in the world today? You knock on doors and visit with people. Are you saved? Oh, yeah, I was baptized. When were you baptized? As an infant? Oh, did you understand you were a sinner when you were 8 days old? And you knew that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again at day eight. And you willfully, voluntarily put your faith in Jesus? Well, no. You remember getting baptized? Well, oh, I was 8 days old. I'm a kid, you know. Oh, but the church told you were baptized into the family of God. The church told you a lie. So you shouldn't be so adamant, people. That is deceiving people. There are people who believe they're going to heaven because they were baptized as an infant. That's deceitful. Somebody ought to be up in arms about that. No. 10,000 times no. No baptism as an infant makes you fit for the kingdom of God. That ain't happening. No. Baptism is after salvation. Number four, baptism keeps the biblical method of the Great Commission alive. It keeps the biblical method of the Great Commission alive. If you're taking notes, we won't turn there for sake of time. Just jot down Acts 2:40-41. This is the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, people witnessing, Peter's preaching, 3,000 people received the message of salvation and about Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection, and then they followed that by being baptized. All 3,000 of them. This is the historical biblical method. People, every time somebody follows the Lord and believers' baptism in these waters, it is just keeping alive the historical biblical method. We're not going to repair the baptistry. We'll put money into buildings and programs, but we're not fixing the baptistry. You got an 86-year-old man who wants to obey God and please God, but you're not going to fix the baptistry. Hey, were you here last Sunday night? The neutral generation? It's not just the presence of evil, folk. It's the absence of right. churches stop baptizing converts, where's the biblical method going to be found? Well, you know, it takes an extra 5 or 6 minutes, which leads me to my last point. Baptism honors those who were put to death for its practice. What? Oh, yeah. During the Crusades, the Catholic Church persecuted and killed many, many preachers for baptizing adult converts. Because when they got baptized, what they were saying was their infant baptism was no good. You're not listening. They died for baptizing. They were burned for baptizing. You can't wait 5 minutes to see somebody get baptized? Shame. Every Sunday, every time we baptize, we've got folks scurry out of here. What's the matter with you? Well, it takes time. Oh, I know. It's okay. When you get to heaven, you tell that guy who was burned at the stake that you didn't have an extra 5 minutes. So, boy, I didn't expect this. You know what, folks? We keep a handle on things and things are done right, or we just let it go. Let everybody do what they want. Does everybody do what they want? You know, hang out in the hallways during the service and leave for baptism, and let's just go. We go to church and do what we want to do. Now, I'll tell you what I should do. I did think this. We should, at the end of the service, dismiss any elderly folk who want to get a head start, because you do get run over. But to not have an extra 5 minutes to see somebody get baptized, when people died for that? Died for it? Mercy. Mercy. The importance of baptism. We don't report our numbers. The only numbers that ever get reported from this church is when Brother Coral comes here and puts it in his paper. I've never called anybody with a number. Hey, write down this. Ask me how many folk we have baptized last year. I don't know. Ask me how many folk we had in church last week. I don't know. Ask me what the offering was. I know to the penny. No, I'm just teasing. First things first. I've been here almost 28 years now. Some of you folks have been here the whole length. Have we ever made it about numbers? If we shoot for a number, that's okay. But this is important because God's Word says it is important. It's important because Jesus commanded it. Jesus demonstrated it. It keeps the biblical method of the Great Commission alive. It's after salvation. And it, to a lesser degree, it honors those who died to follow the Bible. I don't want to get to heaven and stand next to the guy at the judgment seat of Christ who was burned at the stake because he baptized converts and I didn't have 5 minutes to wait to see somebody get... You know what? I'll tell you what, it's probably with some of you folks, it's just a fairy tale. Heaven, judgment seat of Christ, the whole thing, it's just a fairy tale. It's just what people talk about. That's real. Real's art. Now, what touched my heart was an 86-year-old man sitting in his chair. I'm across the living room, and he looked me in the eye and said, "Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I want to obey God." I thought, boy, what a testimony. So the families came in, and we got Mom and Dad in the water. And upon their profession of faith in Jesus Christ years ago, we baptized them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection. The importance of baptism. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word, what it teaches us. Thank you for your Scripture. Thank you for people who have an obedient spirit. and a heart that wants to be obedient. So, Lord, give us that kind of heart about other things in the Christian life as well. Please, I pray. Would you give me your attention just for a moment with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? It's a different type message on a Sunday morning. Let me ask these questions and we'll be on with the invitation. How many people would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. For a Bible reason, would you raise your hand, please, if you know you're saved? Thank you. Take your hands down. How many of you that are saved? Many, many, many. Most hands went up. All, if not all, just about. How many of you who are saved say, Pastor, I'm saved. I can say with that man, I know I'm saved. But I've not been baptized. And I really should obey God. And after the message today, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I need to be baptized. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Somebody else? God bless you. Somebody else? I appreciate that. Yes, I see your hand in the balcony. God bless you. Amen. You can take your hands down. Now, if you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism today, we're ready. I know one of you stopped me last week and said, first Sunday in June, I'm going to get baptized because some of my family is going to be here. That's wonderful. I got no problem with that. But if you've just been putting it off and putting it off and you know you ought to obey God and you want to obey God, why don't you follow the Lord in baptism and do it today while it's on your heart, while God's talking to you about it. Why don't you come and follow the Lord in baptism today? Now, let me ask this question. Who's here would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved? Let's just start with the horse, not the cart. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you lift your hand, please? If you're not sure that you're saved, let me pray for you this morning. Anybody like that? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. All right? Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege to preach your word this morning, speak to our hearts. Thank you for these who were honest to raise their hand about believers' baptism. Thank you for all of these, Lord, who obediently followed you after salvation. Thank you for working in the hearts of people today. Thank you for that 86-year-old man and his wife with a spirit of humbleness wanting to obey you. God, please give me a spirit like that. Oh, help me to have a heart desire to obey you. Please. And all of us, as we go about our life, may we obey you. And we'll thank you for it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand and music's going to play. Invitation's going to start. You want to pray about something, the altar's open. The altar's open for salvation. The altar's open for folk to come to be baptized as God leads. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. While we wait this morning, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You obey the Lord. Do as God tells you to do this morning. Maybe today is the day you ought to step out and follow the Lord in baptism. While we wait.